Good evening, one and oh yes, I tell you what, February tomorrow. Can you believe it? Gone so quick, just flies by, doesn't it? And finally, I think I was just saying to my guest beforehand, I mean, we've been in the sort of 50s odd the last couple of days here in Connecticut, Ryan, but finally they're talking about a cold spell the end of the week. And I think my old body's already feeling it. I think that's what it is. I'm aching all over the day. I think it's just the thought of actual cold weather coming. But we need it. We need it. We've got to have cold spells in the winter, kill all the bugs and that off. But anyway, I am here and so is my guest. Now, we have people on the show, who perhaps writing things as soon as they could hold a crayon. We've had others who sort of, lady last week, she's been into cooking for many, many years and suddenly decided, why don't I write stuff? When she's sort of almost in her retirement. But my guest today, well, she has this writing bug from very early on, from what I believe. But it's not just one sort of form, it's all forms. Anyway, I better introduce her, haven't I? Because on the show today, I have multi-award winner, I might add, Ellen Burcott Morris. Burkett Morris. Hi, Ellen. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's so good to be with you.
It's good to have you on the show. Now, I'm sort of looking through your CV and what you've done and stuff like that. It seems you haven't you sort of been writing and concentrating on writing from very, very, very early on. Were you one of these people? As soon as you could hold a crayon, you were jotting down little stories?
I was. In fact, I still have my first creation, which was
Oh,
on
good.
lined paper,
Yeah.
illustrated with crayon, and bound with ribbon. And it was the story of a girl whose boss was a shapeshifter and who could turn into different people in different situations. So I've always had the writing bug. My father was a writer. He wrote detective fiction
Oh,
and
right.
wrote and published detective fiction that was set in my hometown of Louisville. And then I, as you pointed out, but I do a variety of different kinds of writing.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Now, interesting, you say you've got the early stuff because that's the question I always ask. Is any of this stuff still around? Because my vision is, like you get famous painters and they have their exhibition and the people come along, see these beautiful paintings and stuff like that. I can just imagine a mother being there and saying, "Yeah, never mind about these paintings. Look what she did when she was four." And there's this one with the figure, taller of the house with the purple hairs. I can imagine that with writers. This is a brilliant book, I know, but look what she wrote when she was just, when she was just starting.
Exactly. That's what mothers are for
Exactly.
sure.
I mean,
Yeah.
it's great that you've got that because you sometimes people sort of look back and think, "Oh, well, I never thought about this." And you look back and you, hey, that wasn't bad for five, four, six, whatever it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
You do a lot of, I mean, obviously poetry and then short stories and that. It's just a sort of how can I put it? You're trying to cram a lot into a small thing, including sort of descriptions and being able to paint like that and paint with words. And reading what people say, that's the thing with you. It seems that you've got this knack of being able to sort of explain things in short amounts of verbiage.
That comes, I think, in part from my background as a journalist. I worked for the local business newspaper. I also did freelance writing. But, also as I've studied writing over and over again, some really good teachers have emphasized the importance of picking really particular details to build your character or to
Yes.
build your poem or your fictional world. And then you'll find that those details, as they accumulate, begin to take on meaning and weight within the piece that you're writing. And so I really enjoy short form writing, and I really do try to focus on very specific, not only specific details in the world, but specific desires for each character, something that's a little bit quirky, a little bit odd.
It's interesting what you say though about the journalist side. We've had quite a few sort of journalists on the show that have gone from journalism into sort of writing perhaps as they've retired or something like that. And of course, you're restricted to inches of print, and so you have to get the information over, in that sort of thing. You can't sort of waffle on when you're a journalist.
Right. Right. You have to be very, very concise. And there are plenty of writers who really stretch their legs and give us long descriptions of the countryside and the house that people are in and all those sorts of things. But for me, it's the character that draws me, that most captivates me. And so that's where I put my energy.
And that's, of course, what attracts the reader most of the time. I mean, yes, okay, unlike the people who then go from writing on into, say, films, you know, where you've got the cameras that can pan round and show the thing. When you're writing, you have to paint that picture, that image, with words. But it's just a background, just a filler. It's the characters and how the characters come over and what you can sort of put within the characters is the thing that attracts readers. Is that what you find?
It is what I find. And then I find that people will talk to me about finding themselves in the story.
Oh, goodness, yes.
You
yes.
know, that, yeah, yeah, that they've had similar experiences or emotions, you know, and so they find themselves in the story. And that, I think, is a real draw for readers.
Oh, totally agree, yes.
Yeah, yeah, and you know I think the reason the identification is there is that when I write, I draw from my own experiences and emotions. You know, so the stories are fictional, but the emotions behind them are real. So I was a bookish child who was kind of lonely, and one of my stories is called Religion, and it's about a young woman who's a virgin who accidentally shows up at a breastfeeders league meeting, a meeting, and decides to stay because she's so lonely. She's so lonely, and that loneliness I remembered from being the kid who didn't feel like, you know, being out on the field running, but was alone with her book. But then the situation is completely fictional and very far out.
It's interesting. Yeah. Interesting what you say about that and people putting themselves in the position. You know, one of the things I always say, and I get a lot of perhaps abuse or books about somebody with an illness and stuff like that. And I always, to me, it's if people write it in a fictional book and people read it, they put themselves in the place of that character. They might have lived a sort of thing. They might have been raised in an abusive family or something. To me, it's a lot better when people enjoy reading it and people read more of it than in the 6 or 7 things not to do sort of type thing, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting. And one of the things is, you know, I started off a bit like you with the poems, and then went into the writing the poems into songs, which is basically just poetry put to music, you know, and then short stories. Now, even when I did my actual fiction books, I wrote them like short stories. It was in the days, I tell you, it was a while ago, it was the days when you actually got a lunch hour, you know, not a 2 minute break sort of thing. And I used to sit down at work in my lunch hour, and each week I sort of wrote a chapter, you know, during my lunch hour bit. So they were little short chapters, which, because I'd written short stories before that, but doing it like that, it reminded me of the old Saturday morning serials, you know, at the cinema, where, you know, you come back next week and see what happens sort of thing. And I think doing it like that, where you get the character, where you get people get into it, and they're reluctant to even put the book down. Do you get that, people telling you, I just couldn't put the book down, it just kept me going?
You know, I did get that. And that was really motivating to me. And also, because I have certain characters in these short stories that show up in other short stories collection, people were really captivated by that. They were like, oh, wait a minute, there's that lady from the first story, and here she is in the third story. And so that was really helpful. You know, I've started to work on longer pieces of work. And what you said about writing it episode by episode, like a serial, is exactly how I've approached it. And it's what's helped me go from short story to a longer form, which was not my natural inclination.
That's what happened with me. You know, I decided, okay, well, I've written all these short stories for many years and stuff like that. In fact, I've got a couple of books out of my short stories, like yourself, but mine are short romance stories. My book's called The Bathroom Book of Romance, because they like 5 and 10 minutes piece read, you know. And that could be the only place you get 5-10 minutes peace and quiet to read a story. So
that's perfect for our time.
Exactly. So, but then I said, I'm going to sit down and write a YA book, as it was in those days. Yeah, a YA book. And I thought, well, how am I going to do it? And I had an idea, obviously bringing stuff in, coming from England to America myself. So I had that. And I sort of wrote the short stories, and almost, as you say, with a sort of a hanger at the end of the, you know, a cliffhanger at the end of each story to keep it going. And I think it helps you write as well, I found, anyway.
Yeah. I know that when I'm working on a short story, I'll leave it at a point of tension and come back to it then the next day, you know, ready to kind of get into what's about to happen. Right. Absolutely.
Now, your poems, I mean, you've written quite a few books of poetry and that. What sort of response do you get to poetry these days?
You know, I get some very nice response. I had one of my poems called Abide showed up on the National Public Radio program Away With Words.
Oh.
And so, it was lovely to have them. One of the hosts of the program read the poem aloud. And so it got a good deal of attention from that. And it was a poem that was about slowing down and noticing what's right in front of you. You know, the feeling of your dog's fur, the sunlight on the wood floor. The taste of the ripe peach. And so poetry's been a wonderful thing. It was, for me, my starting ground. I felt most comfortable writing very, very short poems. Yeah. And then I learned within that to get the confidence to do other sorts of writing. So, yeah, it's been a great discipline for me. And even to today, you know, when I start to write something, I have to ask myself, is this an essay or a poem or a short story, or is it something larger?
Right. You don't know once you get started, do you? You might have an idea, but it's like characters. I mean, you can't control the characters. You know, they come along and lead you on and tell you what to do and everything like that. It's like when you start writing a story, you know, is this going to, oh, no, I've got another couple of bits. Let's make it a bit longer. We can bring this into the next thing. And that's the thing. I talk to authors, and that, yeah, everybody agrees. Oh, we know about that, about characters leading you and not doing what you want and everything like that. You try telling that to people who don't write, and they think you're going mad.
Right. They just, they simply don't get it.
No, but, they just roll their eyes.
Part of the process. It's the muse.
Exactly. Yeah. When the muse, exactly. When the characters talk to you and the muse comes on, you just listen to them and get it down on paper.
That's
or
right.
Whatever. Because it's like people say about writer's block. It's not writer's block. It's the characters don't want to talk to you that day because most likely perhaps you didn't listen to them the day before or something.
I love that idea. I think you're right.
You said about the stories and short stories and stuff like that, but you just bought a book out called Lost Girls. Where did that come from?
Yeah, you know, Lost Girls is really a series of loosely connected stories that have to do with female resilience and strength. And, I had started the collection as a set of stories about a photographer from Boston who ends up in my home state of Kentucky, and he's in a small town chronicling life at the bicentennial, the American bicentennial. But the truth is, nobody was very interested in the male photographer, and the women in the stories were the most interesting. And so I cut him out, and I pulled all the different stories about the different women and put them into this collection. And it's women and girls at all stages of life. We've got an older lady who is on a bus and sees her reflection in the window and thinks, who is that old woman? And she grabs
tell me about
with
it.
Aging.
Yep.
I'm right there.
I look in the mirror some mornings and think, that's my father.
That's right. You start to see the parents.
Yeah, I know.
And it's something else. And then I've got a story about two young girls who are best friends, and one of their mothers is about to has gotten a cancer diagnosis. Uh-huh. And they're waiting to see what's going to happen with her. So it's women and girls at all different ages.
That's great.
It's something, These issues of loneliness or aging or friendship or loss, you know, all of those things are things we all deal with. And so it was very cathartic to find a fictional outlet for all of that.
And it's not just, you know, people think, oh, it's just an uplifting thing or not. You have all sorts. I mean, it covers, as you say, lots of stuff there to startle you, stuff there to uplift you. You're covering all sorts of topics. Some are complicated, some erotic, all sorts of things. I mean, it's not just a theme, yet though you do, as you say, you do sort of move characters into different parts. It's a little village in a book, if you like, with all the sort of quirkiness and the individuals you have in a little village.
I absolutely love that idea. I think that's really true. I think it depicts the lives of various members of this village. And, you know, the thing about small towns is that people who live there think they know each other. Mm. But everybody has a secret. Everybody has a secret life or things they want that nobody knows about. And so I'm very intrigued by that idea, too, this idea that we can live next door to people and really not have any real sense of what their deep inner life is like.
One thing I read about it, and I got to ask about this, there's in this one of the reviews I read, it said whether it's a girl embracing her tummy sticking out. I thought, okay, is she pregnant? I don't know. It's just. Yeah, I came across it, and I thought, well, I have to ask you what that's about.
Yeah, and that is about a chubby little girl who people are want to make her feel self-conscious about it, and her next door neighbor takes her to the clothing store, takes her to the fat section, and tries to buy her a pair of very, very sturdy jeans, you know, not the fashionable ones, but the durable ones with the big waistline, and she's in the dressing room and her stomach is sticking out and she kind of hugs it and she thinks to herself, this is not so bad. This is a soft place to rest my hand at night.
Yes.
And so it's also about, you know, embracing yourself and, you know, kind of not worrying about what other people are thinking about you.
Exactly. And that's what makes your book so good, is the fact that you do cover all sorts of things. And it's, you know, it's stories within stories, it's happiness, it's sadness, it's all sorts of stuff there. And I think that's why people are liking it so much, because it's like reading a different book every day almost.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
So, you know, Lost Girls has been received really well. What's your next thing? Are you sort of, obviously, carry on writing the stories and stuff like that? Are you planning something, some big... monster tome?
Well, I'll tell you what, I've got a novel that is completed. It's called Beware the Tall Grass. It is alternate stories between the mother of a child who has past life memories and the Vietnam soldier whose memories the child has. And so we alternate chapters. It is up for a publication award from a university in Georgia. So I'm one of five people being considered. So within the next 6 months, I'll find out if it found a home. The other thing I've got, I'm actually seeking representation for, is a novel about a young woman from Cleveland who leaves her mother behind. Her mother has Lou Gehrig's disease, and she goes to Hawaii to be part of a fellowship program. And in the meantime, she gets involved in a romantic triangle, a celestial discovery, and also gets in the middle of protest on the mountaintops in Hawaii, where the indigenous people don't want the telescopes up there. And so that's a whole other thing. It's got a lot going on in there. It's got a touch of romance. And so I'm hoping to find an agent and be able to get that settled with a larger publisher.
And as I said at the beginning, I mean, you just look through your awards and the recommendations and all this sort of stuff, and people like your stuff. I mean, there's no two ways about it. It's great to see it, and to me, it's great to see the versatility there. It's not like even though you've got a theme of poetry, short stories, what have you, it covers a huge range of emotions and everything else like that. And I think that's wonderful that you're able to use your talent, you know, to share this sort of stuff with people?
Well, thank you so much. And for me, you know, it's more fun as a writer to be able to, I'm giving myself permission, as I hope everybody will do, to play around with those different forms and to take chances and just see what happens, because you might find that you've got a secret gift for, you know, poetry or essay or who knows what.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. I mean, yeah, I've had people who, that's it. You know, I write historical romance, that's it. Boom. And I have other people who say, well, I'm writing three different books at once, and one's a romance, one's a detective, one's a this. I thought, how on earth can you do that? And, I said, a couple of them, do you do one day this, one day? Oh, no, sometimes we do three different genres in a day. You're sitting there, you just imagine sitting there with a hat on, and you have to take that hat off and put the next hat on. I could never do that. I just couldn't, because my brain would be ticking over for the first one while I'm starting the second one, sort of thing, you know? And that, but it's great. No, I think it's really good the way you're able to, to cover everything. And I guess it's in a way going back to your journalism parts where you, unless you just did weddings and funerals, you had that. You had different sorts of things you had to cover, I guess.
Right. They really, they did. They sent me out to do a lot of different stuff. And, you know, every time I feel challenged by my writing, I remember how much I disliked having to work for somebody else and how delightful it is to be able to set my own agenda and say, okay, today I'll work on some poems, or I'll see if I can, work on short stories or whatever it is. But yeah, I just sort of took that whole model into my work as a creative writer, which includes setting deadlines for myself and submitting my work for publication on a pretty frequent basis so that people can get their eyes on it. Mm. And, I've come to really enjoy that process and not be afraid of it. You know, early on, a lot of fear with rejection. Yeah. And so it's like, no. I'm going to put it out there.
We have Steve Berry comes on the show each year. For the last 10, 11, 12 years he's been. And I always bring him up as an example. I mean, he spent 10 years with about 50 rejections, permanently rejecting his stuff. And then suddenly the genre became popular. What he did, they took like 4 or 5 of his books, or 10 books it was as well, 4 or 5 of his books, and the other 5 he sort of, cut up into bits and used them in other books. never stop, never give up. And one of the things, and I'm sure what you just said with getting it out there, I have people come on who've written a novel and they think, well, I've written it now, I've got the book in my hand, the hard work's done. That's not when the hard work's done. That's when the hard work starts, I think. And the fact that you're able to do it with so many things and across so many, and as you say, you get it out to this place, to that place and everything like that, you're halfway there. It's an experience that a lot of people really should have.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You got to advocate for your own work, and you need to be forthright about sending it so that it can get out in the world.
Yeah. I mean, it might be a brilliant story, but if people don't know about it, they're not going to read it, are they?
Exactly.
Anyway, it's been great chatting to you. It really has. Time's gone pretty quick. So what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where people can find more about you and your books and your poems and your letters and everything you write.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, if you're looking for more information on my work, you can go to my website, which is ellenburkettmorris.inc. That's ellenburkettmorris.inc. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. Great stuff. Thank you so much for being a guest on the show, and good luck with the books and the rest of the stuff, on its way with the various things. I'm sure that you're going to continue to have success with all your work. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
My pleasure. Well, what about that, eh? There we go. Our guest today, Ellen Burkett Morris. As you said, ellenburkett, morris, Ellen Burkett Morris.inc. Inc. Not a pubcom, everything like that, .inc. And there's lots of stuff there. There's lots about the awards she's won and the sort of prizes, recommendations, etc., etc. Really good stuff. I love all this sort of stuff where you go through things like that. Really is really interesting. Who have we got tomorrow? Let's just check our list. We've got tomorrow, we've got Lou Sabini coming on the show tomorrow. I'll find out more about that person before the show starts tomorrow. And the music show's the weekend. This is February tomorrow. And in February, on Those Were the Days, which is my music from the 20th century, starts from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern here on New Visions Radio. February's my birthday month. So it's all Barry's picks all weeks, all months. So no themes, no guessing songs for themes and everything like that. It is some of my favourite bits of music. So I always look forward to this month picking stuff, you know, without having to try and find a theme that a song I like fits into it. But that's it. Anyway, I will be back tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget,